Even before I get started, I want to thank God for giving me one more time a chance to come in this church and minister from God's Word. I believe this is by divine appointment.
Amen.
That I'm here this morning. For those of you who do not believe what I'm saying, I will just prove it to you in a few minutes. As I came here, came a little bit late, and a dear sister came here to read the portion for today's meditation, and I believe today is a Mission Sunday.
Yes,
and can you believe it? The Holy Spirit had stirred in my heart to pick up a portion from within that reading portion that she read to you earlier today.
Amen.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
There is no coincidence with God. We may think that it's a coincidence, but it's not a coincidence with God. Thank you. All these gadgets, sometimes they confuse you. It's like a remote control that you have. You press the wrong remote, you are turning on the wrong switches there. So that's with me with two here. But thank you, brother. So as I was saying, thank you. I hope you can hear me better now. Thank you. There is no surprises with God, and God has a word for you this morning. I believe in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I stand before God's word humbly as much as possible, because I believe God uses us as spokesmen, as a channel of His voice. God uses humans to speak to people. Do not look at me as a person, because I am a man with everything that is possible to go wrong in a person, but look at me this morning as a spokesman and a voice of God, because I believe God is going to speak to you this morning. And when you hear the voice of God, know that God wants to touch your soul and God wants to speak to you something. You need to keep your ears open and your hearts receptive and be willing to submit under the word of God.
Yes.
I am a student of the word. Even after having two doctoral degrees, I believe I hardly know anything. Last 3 years, I was meditating on God's word and creating devotions. Yesterday, my third book has been released, and I praise God for that. The third journey has been released finally. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe I came here, I don't know how many books I introduced, the first or the second. But today I have a few copies of all the three. If you don't have a devotion yet, I would encourage you to pick up a devotion. It is worth the money. It is good because you can sit in God's presence, read through the entire Bible in a year, and hear from God's voice. Because I have heard the voice of God many, many times, and I've written these devotions. So it will be out there in the foyer. If you want to get a copy for yourself, I have all the three books. It's called United in the Word, The First Journey, The Second Journey, and The Third Journey. Each of these books has progressed as the years gone by. I don't know, maybe I'm bad in writing, but the pages have increased. It started with 472 pages, then it increased to 570 something pages. The latest one is 698 pages. It is a thick book, but there is a lot of good material that God has spoken to my heart, and I believe God can speak to you as well. And those, as brother reminded, I am every day on 91.5 reading out my own devotions. That is another story. 2 years before, through a man of God, God spoke to me that God is going to open a ministry through the radio. Exactly 2 years after, at this moment, God opened a door through radio. And now I am in the radio every day. 5:45 in the morning and 7:45 in the evening. Victory 91.5. If you have a chance, listen to it. Be blessed. And I praise God. This morning I want to recognize a dear couple. I'm not going to take their names. They know who they are. I know them because we have had a few good times together and had a chance to get to know a little them a little more intimately. I praise God for their lives. I'm not even looking at their direction, so they should not get embarrassed that I'm taking out their names, but I praise God. Can we all stand before the Word of God this morning? I want to read from Romans chapter 1 and verse 14 to verse number 17. The passage that we have for our meditation, and I'm going to speak for a few moments regarding the power of the gospel. My topic to you this morning is the power of the gospel. I'm going to read from the New King James Version Bible. Whichever version you have with you, you can read it. God will forgive you. Use the version that is more interesting and more meaningful to you. But I use the New King James Version, and let me read the portion. The book of Romans chapter 1, I would start from verse number 14 to verse number 17. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the anointing that is present in our midst. We thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you open our inner eyes. I pray that you open our ears that we may hear your word. And this morning I pray that let the Holy Spirit speak to us, Lord. I pray that our hearts be pricked, and as we realize the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I pray that, Lord, use me as an instrument, Father, to speak to your people, O Father. I pray that your people may be blessed as they go from here with a new determination, O Father, to do your work in this earth as God has given them the days, O Father. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. We heard the testimonies, how you, Lord, rescued people from accidents. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you are giving us, Lord. Every day is a gift from you, and help us to use it for your glory and to fulfill your purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated in the presence of God. Before I get started, in the month of February, I went to India for a mission trip. It was it all happened very quickly, but let me tell you, we were 12 of us. We went to South India for 2 weeks, and there were 12 people from the United. There was 11 from the US. There was one brother from the UK. 12 of us went to South India, and we went as part of a Jesus film mission trip. And during the 12 days, we conducted about 71 events in four different places in South India. And we went to it was an evangelism mission trip, totally concentrating on evangelism through the Jesus film ministry. I don't know how many of you know about it, but Jesus film has an app that gives free Jesus film that you can show to people that speaks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We use those film to show in villages, and people could hear the gospel in their own language. There is more than 1,000 languages with the Jesus film, and each language, the way they have dubbed it, is that even the mouth, how they move, they move in accordance with the language. So people think that Jesus is speaking in one of the Indian languages. That is how real it looks. And a lot of people were blessed because of those ministries. We went to villages and schools and dormitories, and we went to nursing schools. We went to a home that is taking care of polio students. We did some internet training. We went to churches and preached there. We had pastors training. Let me tell you, for the glory of God, by the end of our mission trip, there was a total of 522 people who accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. who came from Hindu religion and other religions. They are not Christians. They came from others' faith and they accepted Christ in their heart. 522. And those are the indicated decisions that we got that they have accepted Christ. And more than 29 people rededicated their lives for the Lord. You know, this morning it is very true, and Pastor Ferguson told me to just speak about my mission trip, and I wanted to relate it to the message today. You know, the gospel has this great power. There is great power in the gospel. You know, the great commission that Jesus said before he left the world, it was not an afterthought. It was planned before the foundations of the world. It was planned when God appeared to Abraham and told him that all nations will be blessed through you. Genesis chapter 12 verse 3 says, in you shall all nations be blessed. The fruition, the culmination of what Jesus told Abraham thousands of years ago, they are fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who told, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes. Preach the gospel to every creature, that everybody receives the blessing that God has offered to us. When Jesus started his ministry, he called some disciples and told him to follow him. He said, follow me, do what I do, and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. People, there were disciples like Peter, James, John who were fishing, who were fishermen. God said, you come out from among them. I'm going to make you fishers of men. They left their nets. God made them fishers of men. And God changed the physical net to the net of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They would cast their net and live human fishes would fall into that they would collect for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter did not catch a single fish on that night, but on the day of Pentecost, Peter cast the net of the gospel. 3,000 souls came to the Lord. Hallelujah. God truly transformed his life. And that is how, what God wants to tell us that today, God has given us a wonderful, wonderful tool. It's called the gospel. You know, when in Mark chapter 3 verse 14, Jesus appointed apostles to replicate him in preaching the kingdom of God. And today we are to represent Jesus to a world that does not know about God and about the salvation experience. And in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus starts his ministry, he goes to a synagogue in his hometown in Nazareth, and he proclaims the preamble of what his ministry is going to contain. If you look to Luke chapter 4, it says that in the list, it says how God anointed me. He speaks from the book of Isaiah, and on the top of the list is to preach the gospel to the poor. His ministry started with the preaching of the gospel. And in Mark chapter 16, finally when Jesus was about to go, he called the 11 together and he gave them the final instructions. He told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized shall be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that we all have in our hearts. Do you know that when we became children of God, God has given the gospel as a means of reaching others and bringing them into his kingdom? Do we know that we, all of us, it's not the work of a pastor, it's not just the work of the deaconess, it's the work of every child of God to reach the gospel to every person that you know. I want you to turn your attention to the book of Luke chapter 24 and verses 46 onwards. This is the end of what Jesus was speaking to them, and he speaks about what the gospel was supposed to be. Jesus came to this world, it says that he suffered and he died and he rose again on the third day. So so that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. What Jesus planned for his disciples was that they should preach the gospel, go on to preach to all the nations, but they would start in Jerusalem. And verse number 48 says, "And you are witnesses of these things." They were live, first-hand witnesses of what Jesus told them. And then he said in verse number 49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." You know, what Jesus was meaning to say to his disciples was that the gospel is showing that Jesus came to this world, he suffered, he died, he rose up on the third day, but through him now salvation is available to everyone. And so to those people who would believe in the name of Jesus, accept Jesus as the way to God, because Jesus had said in John 14 verse 6, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me." If they would accept that truth, that we can only go to God, we can only be born again, only through the experience of a new birth can we go to heaven. That is what they should understand about the gospel. And so the people would believe, and then they would repent and be baptized, and that they would receive the eternal life. You know, these disciples were the first-hand witnesses in the first century. But Jesus said, "You know what? Before you go, I don't want you to go without any tools, without any power. So what you should do," it says in verse number 49, "I am going to send the promise of my Father upon you. You wait in the city of Jerusalem till you get the power." You need the power. You have the tool in your heart, which is the gospel. But in order to touch other people, you need the power of God to move forward. That is what Jesus said. And that story continues when you come to Acts chapter 1. If you come to Acts chapter 1 and you see there what Jesus is speaking there. Acts chapter 1 in verse number 5, Jesus said, "John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus is giving them a kind of a prophetical utterance about they are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is the crucial verse that speaks to us about what do we do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is the reason why God is baptizing us in the Holy Spirit? He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth." I want you to mark this verse very carefully, my brothers and sisters. The reason why God gave the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not to just speak a few words in other tongue that nobody understands. It is to become witnesses of the knowledge and the saving grace through Jesus Christ. It says, "You shall get power and you will be my witnesses." Hallelujah. How many of you agree with me? I want you to lift up your hands and say, "Praise the Lord." Hallelujah. The reason why God gave us a baptism of the Holy Spirit is that we should be witnesses. We should tell what God has done in our lives to other people. God wanted to give us power. He does not want us to be weak people when we appear before men, but He wanted to give us the power and the authority so that we have all the tools, we have everything that we need to speak to somebody else about this wonderful gospel. Let me tell you, there are three kinds of unconverted people in this world. Number one, those who reject the gospel. They have heard the gospel. They said, it's not for me. I'm going to go on my own ways. If you think in your mind, you may be able to think about some people like that, to whom you have shared the gospel and they have rejected you outright. This is the one of the first group. The second group of people are those who neglect or put off the gospel because they are having a good time.
Yeah.
They say, if I accept Christ, I cannot do the sins that I'm doing again. I cannot continue my life just like that. So let me grow a bit older, when all my that passion, is spent and I don't have any energy, then I will accept Christ. Maybe like the thief on the cross, just a minute before I die, I can accept Christ. Some people put off accepting Christ and accepting the gospel. This is the second group. But then there is a third group of people that I want us as the children of God to pay attention. The third group of the people are those who have never heard the gospel. There is a big group in this world who have never heard the gospel. And it is for this group that we are accountable for. If somebody resists the gospel, God is going to ask them one day, why did you reject me? And they will have to answer to God on that day. If somebody puts it off, that is also not a problem. But there is a group of people who have never ever heard that there is a salvation through Jesus Christ. And this morning or afternoon, I want to tell you, God wants you to understand that there are people that you know personally, in your workplaces, in the places that you go, in your neighborhood, who have never heard the gospel. Who is accountable to reach the gospel? It is us. Each of us are responsible to be witnesses to those people who have never heard the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a field. The field. Jesus gives many parables in Matthew chapter 13 verse 38. He speaks about the field being the world. And the seeds that are planted are the gospel, the word of God. How do we go about planting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Today I want to wait for a few minutes and I want to pause there. I know you all know about it, but I want to give you a little more emphasis because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to talk to each one of you. One of the questions that you should ask is, we have been a church for so many years. Why are so many empty seats in our church? If you believe the gospel is true, if you believe that the only way to God is Jesus Christ, why are so many of our people not saved? Or why is there still so many left in this world to accept Christ? We need to think about it. Many times we blame the leadership of the church, the pastors, the minister of music, the choir. No. Don't even turn to blame anyone, because the great commission or the commandment is for all of us. Individually. Individually, each of us are responsible to be a witness of what Christ has done. Then let's give God a good hand of applause. Hallelujah. This is what God expects from our lives, that we have to be a witness of what God is going to do in our lives. How do we go planting the word of God? Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is just like if you throw a stone in a pond where the waters are still, the ripples that form is in ever widening circles as the impact is felt all over the water. It says that you need to start from Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem meaning to us in our context? It is our home, number one. Everything starts with my life and my home.
Yeah.
The gospel needs to be reached within our own home and within our own family. Hallelujah. It is also our neighborhood. It is, that is our Jerusalem today. Where you are, that is your Jerusalem. Your first level of influence is your Jerusalem. That is the place that you should start and be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, God will hold us responsible if those people go to hell without hearing the gospel one day. Hallelujah. Many of us go to work. We hardly ever tell people that we are Christians or we are born again. I'm sorry to say this. I'm telling you this is the truth. We are so scared to be a one in the majority. We don't even open our mouth and say, look here, I don't come in your line because I am a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Begin within our family. Start with your children. Mothers, fathers, let me tell you, start with your own children. Let them be born again. Let them know Christ intimately. Let them have a time every day in prayer and reading the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We all think about Billy Graham and big preachers. They are a separate, God has called them for a separate ministry. We all are not Billy Grahams. We all are, each of us, individually, God has carved us with certain talents and abilities. You know, when God gives, He didn't give everybody the same number of talents. You know that. The story He gave, one five and three and one. You know, we may be not having that many talents, or our giftings may be different. But let me tell you this. Even to the person who had one talent, he could not escape without using that talent for the kingdom of God. As a church, let me speak to the church now. You know, the Jerusalem also represents your local church. This has to be the hub of evangelism to the people in your community. This is the church. The place of God, that God, a group of believers, ecclesia, called out believers, you are a group of people. And you have to start from your Jerusalem. Amen. Start with the people from where you come from. And I'm telling you this, that is the place that God wants you to begin to spread the word. Mm-hmm. Reach out to friends and family. Draw people from the outside. Give them a chance to hear what God has done for you. Every time, as a situation, we are always preaching to the choir. I'm sorry about the choir. The choir are people who are the most faithful people. They come for, at least for singing, if not for anything else. They are here. And we preach to the choir day after day. That's all. That's all we do. But you know, there are so many people outside the fold who have never even heard the word, the gospel, even once. Somebody has said that we have no right to speak the gospel a second time when there is a whole world waiting of people who have never even heard it once. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today I hope that the Holy Spirit will tug your hearts about this matter. This is not something that we can put aside, my brothers and my sisters. This is not something that we can put, thank you, we can put aside. This is not for the angels to do. This is not for the pastors alone to do. They all have the role within the church to build up the body of Christ, equip the people for the works of the ministry. But it is each of you that is sitting in these pews, in all the seats here, We are responsible for our own Jerusalem.
Yes.
And for our own Judea. What is a Judea regarding a local church? It is the geographical area that is surrounding. You are here in Tucker. What is your Judea? It is the area around it. Draw a 5-mile radius. That is your Judea. After, as you tackle with the Jerusalem, go to your Judea and try to reach people with the gospel. Yeah. Then there is a Samaria. What does Samaria stand for? Those are the outcasts of the society. You know, during the time of Jesus, the people of Samaria were a third-class people. The Jews would not associate with the Samaritans because they were a shunned people. And that is why the woman at the well tells Jesus, you know, you people don't have any dealings with us because we are a shunned group. We are a lower-class people. We also have to reach to our Samaria. Let me ask you this. Who is the Samaria in our times now? These are the homeless. These are the aged, the shut-ins, the disabled, who are in the hospitals, who are in some places where nobody is there to help them. There is nobody to help them. And it is the responsibility of us as a church to reach the gospel to those people.
Amen.
True. That is the hope for them, not just feeding them for one meal. I am all for social work, but I believe the greatest need that people have is to hear the gospel.
Amen.
So that their lives get transformed and they become people of worth. My time is running, let me go quickly. Finally, go to the uttermost parts of the world. Reach out. Go to Jamaica. I heard about a mission trip that is going to Jamaica. Go there. Go and preach.
Amen.
Let the word of God ring out to the people who do not know about Christ. Hallelujah. You know, in the book of Acts, the disciples, they obeyed Acts chapter 1 verse 8 completely. From Acts chapter 1 to chapter 7, they were preaching within Jerusalem. There was a great persecution that came, and from Acts chapter 8 to 12, they were able to reach to the Judea and Samaria. And after that, from Acts chapter 13 to the last part of Acts, in chapter 28, they were able to go to the uttermost parts of their world through Apostle Paul. They were able to obey the word of Jesus completely. And Paul is a good example of somebody who obeyed Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You know, the word of God tells in Matthew chapter 24 verse 14 that the gospel has to be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, the end of the world is waiting for the whole world to receive the gospel, and we are responsible to tell it to them, and that is our great responsibility. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Apostle Paul is a good example. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, we see that when Paul became a born-again believer, in Acts chapter 9 verse 20, it says, immediately he started preaching. He went to the synagogues and he preached that Jesus was the Son of God. He obeyed the word of God and God used him mightily. Let me quickly come to the text of my sermon. I've just scratched on the surface and I was giving you basically something to lead up to this verse. Romans chapter 1 verse 14. Paul says that he owes a debt to everybody, to the learned and to the unlearned, to the illiterate, to the wise and to the unwise. Next time when you look at an unsaved person, remember, I have a debt to him. It is not a financial debt. It is a debt that you need to speak the gospel to that person. In verse number 15, Paul says he is ready to preach everywhere. Many times we are reluctant. We are not ready to preach. But Paul says, I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to all the places. And verse number 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Why am I not ashamed? Because it is the power of God. It is the power of God to salvation for all who will receive it. Let me tell you, gospel has the power to rescue people from the tragic consequences of sins. Jesus alone provides that salvation. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, salvation is in no other name but through the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And God offers this free gift of salvation to all who will repent and believe and will accept the teaching of Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus came from heaven to this earth. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. Why? Why? That we will have a good time only? No. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to save the whole world. And today, still there are people who have never heard the gospel. Let me tell you that Paul was not ashamed of proclaiming the gospels. He was aware about the warnings that was given by Jesus Christ. Can you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 9 and verse number 26? Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Today, if we are ashamed to speak the gospel to our friends and people that we know are unsaved, one day when we stand before God, He will be ashamed of us. And He will say, He never acknowledged me before His people. And Jesus would never want to acknowledge us to His Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. What a pitiable experience would that be? I'm telling you. And on top of that, Paul said, you know what? I am obligated. I not only that I'm not ashamed. In verse number 14, he says that I am obligated. I'm a debtor. And Paul says that he's not ashamed of doing that as well. Why? Because the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. God's righteousness demands that sin should be punished. The penalty is death as per Romans 6:23. But God's love provided what righteousness demanded. Jesus paid the price of our sins. And now we can avail the free gift of salvation.
Amen.
We don't have to pay anything to receive the free gift of salvation that God has offered through Jesus Christ. You know, D.L. Moody has once described the gospel is, the sharing of the gospel is like one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread. That is what it is. We know where the bread is. We know how to get life. All we need is to share to the others who does not know about that.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, the first century church preached the gospel without fear. All the apostles of Jesus Christ except John was martyred for the sake of the gospel. I was able to, in my last mission trip, I went to the place in India where Thomas the apostle was martyred for Jesus. You know, he traveled all the way to India to preach the gospel. Thomas, the doubting Thomas, who said, my Lord and my God, this Thomas traveled to India to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could he do that unless there was reality in the gospel that Jesus said? How would they be willing to give their lives for the sake of God unless this is a real thing? Let me tell you, this is a reality that we are all talking about. There is a great power in the gospel. You know, it's like a dynamite. We do not know the explosive energy. If you don't light it up, we need to light the gospel like a dynamite and let it go, that it will touch people's lives. It is not something that we have to contain within ourselves. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with 11 apostles. He hardly preached for 10 minutes. But do you know that? More than 3,000 people, they were added to the church. 10 minutes of preaching. More than 3,000. Then 5,000. Then so much multitude of people were added to the church of those who heard the gospel. Let me again say, there is great power in the gospel that we have in our possessions. We do not have to be like a lake that is not going anywhere, but we have to be like a stream of water that is flowing out and touching the lives of people. Today I want you to change your perspective about Christian living. God wants us to reach others with the gospel. And this is one thing I want you to take home with you. Dear brothers and sisters, you are coming and you know the word. Let that word out to people who do not know it today. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this. Are we witnesses of the gospel of Jesus today? This gospel has not lost its power. Nor has the blood of Jesus lost its power. Nor has the name of Jesus lost its power. We have lost our power. Because in our fasting prayers, there are hardly people who want to come and sit in God's presence. I just heard it. Just heard in the announcements. And that is the truth. It's a harsh reality that we don't want to sit and wait for the power and go and speak to other people. Hallelujah. Are you sharing the gospel that God wants you to be? This is a third category that I'm talking about. People who have never heard the gospel, we are responsible. Are we obeying the commission that God has given? I want you to stand up on your feet for a moment. I want the singers to get ready. Let me tell you, I just thought about an Old Testament prophet by the name of Jonah. You know, the people of Nineveh were hated by the people of Israel because they were cruel people, they were harsh people. But God gave his prophet Jonah a mandate to go and speak a words of judgment to Nineveh. The disobedient prophet, instead of going towards the east, he got into a ship that goes towards the west, going the opposite direction to Tarshish. And he went down to the bottom of the ship and he was sleeping soundly, not knowing that God is going to pull him out of his sleep and God is going to put him into the water and he will land in the belly of the whale and then he is going to be spit out to the place that God wants him to preach the gospel. God's work will be done with or without us. If we are silent today, God will choose and use somebody else to be a witness for him. Hallelujah. There were 125,000 people in Nineveh who just heard one line of judgment from Noah. It says that the entire city fasted before God and God repented and God did not destroy them. There are people waiting to hear the gospel today. But are we like Jonah, disobedient, walking away from God, lying in the bottom of the ship, being tossed nicely in the cool wind and the waves? You know, God is going to send a storm in our lives. And God is going to pull us from our area of comfort. If God wants to do his work, he will pull us out and he will throw us. And we will come to the belly of the whale where we will cry out, "My God! My God, I'm sorry." Let it not happen to any one of us. Let me speak to the church today. God wants us to be witnesses of the gospel. Today is a mission Sunday. Today, this is the word that God has given for you. If we do not understand and appreciate the work that God has have for us, we will be accountable to God one day. Today I want you to take a decision in your heart. Let it not be words of condemnation. I don't want to condemn anybody. I'm equally guilty of many times that we keep silent when we should be sharing the gospel. But today what the Lord wants from you is to take a decision. Lord, I'm going to speak about you. Whenever you give me an opportunity, how many of you are going to take a decision? I want to call out people. If you are just says, "Lord, I desire to do your will. I want to be a witness." Can you step out of your seat? I want you to come to the front. Today will be a day of dedication and a day of consecration. I want you to consecrate your life before God and say, "Lord, I want to be a witness." This is not a gospel invitation. This is a decision. Lord, where I am, I understand the reasoning and I understand the gravity. I understand that you have a purpose for me. Together right now, where you're standing, as we make a decision before we leave to back your homes today. Father, you're giving us time which is soon running away from us. Every day that is lost is a day of lost opportunities to speak the gospel and be a witness for you. Lord, help us together today as we decide to speak about the great salvation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can you consecrate yourself in the hand of God and say, Lord, use me. Use me as a channel of your blessing, Lord. Use me as a channel of your blessing, Lord. Lord, help me, Father. Use my mouth as a mouthpiece, O Father. Use my hands to help people. Use my body, Lord. Use my time and my talents. Use my treasures, O Father, to use in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Can I say a prayer of blessing? Hallelujah. Before the man of God comes and takes over, I want to say a prayer of blessing to you. Hallelujah. I pray that God will use each and every one of you to touch somebody's life. In this world, when we are moving and we are brushing against people who do not know Christ, I want to pray that God will use you. God will use you as a channel of His blessing. That God will use you to touch some people's lives. Just being a witness of what God has done for your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people today. We heard the need that you're waiting us to share and be a witness of your gospel. Lord, we know that there is great power in the gospel to bring people from darkness, from sin, from addiction, from the clutches of Satan, from the clutches of this world, into the kingdom of light. Lord, let your light shine through us. Let your light shine through us into their lives, I pray. Many times we are ashamed. Many times we are not ready. Many times we don't feel the need to preach the gospel to others. We turn a blind eye, just like the priest and the Levite who are passing by the wounded man in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Many times we look at people wounded and naked and weary, but we turn away, Lord, and we do our own things.
Forgive us, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Forgive
I pray
us.
That you give us a burden for the lost souls around us, Lord. Give us a burden for people who are dying and going to hell every day. I pray that you use us greatly. I pray that for the people of God who have decided to do your will, I pray a blessing over them. Give them courage and strength, Father. Empower them, Lord. Help them to wait on the promise of the Father. Help them to be filled in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And use them, Father, mightily, Father, Lord, wherever you're going to lead them, oh Father, that they may touch some people's lives. Just like in the first century, many people, Lord, the Lord will add people to the church. Hallelujah. On a daily basis, I pray, let it be done, Father. At this moment, I pray for the man of God, Dr. Ferguson, right now. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, restore his health, oh Father. I pray that you use him greatly in this church. I pray for every ministry of this church. I pray that you use them, Lord, geared towards the kingdom work, I pray. Lord, bless the school of ministry that we are having. Bless it, and Lord, I pray that you increase it these days. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory. And the people of God, lift up their hands and give God the glory right now. We give you the glory, God. We give you the honor, Lord. We give you the praises, oh Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.